Do you need help protecting your finances as you enter retirement? David Dickens of KC Financial Advisors has got you covered. Welcome to the Cover Your Assets KC podcast.
It's another Cover Your Assets KC podcast. Walter Storholt here with David Dickens, President and Wealth Advisor at KC Financial Advisors, serving you in Kansas City with an office in Overland Park. And it is our final show of 2020. David, are you in the camp of folks that just can't wait for this year to be over and get on with 2021?
Man, I'm squarely in that camp. This has been...
I don't know anybody who's like, man, this has been an awesome year.
If we would have done a podcast in January of this year and said, hey, folks, here's what this is going to look like, that would have sounded like the craziest thing ever.
Could you imagine? Then, I mean, if you're really right, though. You're going to have a global pandemic where you're not going to be able to see your family and friends. The stock market's going to have its most dramatic crash that we've seen since 2008. And at least as far as a single week or two goes, maybe even more dramatic than that. And because it's got a pandemic attached to it, not just a financial crisis. Yet, in a mere couple of months, it'll be back to all-time highs and rocking and rolling. And everything that happened with the election and all of the different social movements that happened over the summer. I mean... Yeah, I thought you were crazy at the beginning of the year.
Truly amazing. And, I mean, you couldn't even have thought of all the things that have gone through. And then to think that we still don't exactly know, which is part of the topic of the conversation today, is we still don't exactly know the makeup of Washington, D.C. for next year. Just throws an extra ringer into the whole thing. But what we do know for sure is that the Chiefs did win the Super Bowl this year, and... I'm sure as a North Carolina guy, you weren't all that interested in yesterday's Monday night football game, but those of us who live here were very happy to see the Steelers come up on the losing end of that game, making, maybe that was Sunday, actually it was Sunday night football, I guess. But yeah. Anyway,
well,
now having
they've played on Monday, Sunday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and I think someone sent me a stat, my uncle sent me a stat and said this will be, I think, the first season in history or maybe only the second time in history that the NFL will have played on every single night of the week during the season. It's only happened, I think, one other time was the stat that he sent me.
Something else to chalk up to 2020.
Well, it was funny the other day, and actually I think it was on Sunday, I was saying something to my wife, and she was like, hey, it's Sunday. What are you talking about? And I just had been going through the whole day thinking it was Saturday. Not just like one of those momentary things. Like I legitimately thought it was Saturday. The way I'd been doing my entire day, I thought it was Saturday. So I think our brains are all scrambled from the days of the week at this point in time. But hey, there's annoying Pittsburgh fans that live pretty much everywhere across the country. They're like Packers fans. They travel all over. So I don't mind seeing them suffer a little bit. And
You probably don't have any Chiefs fans living close to you, but we're a really nice, little salty bunch, but we're really nice.
I do have Chiefs fans in the family. They're Iowans, but they're Chiefs fans. So
really,
yeah. So we've got a little bit of representation in the family lines. So
nice.
I don't mind rooting for the Chiefs.
For the repeat, so hopefully that all works out.
Got a good chance at it.
I'm gonna knock on some wood right now.
Yeah, I think they're looking pretty good. So we will see. Next couple of weeks, we'll know. It won't take long to get there, I don't think.
Well, so. Hopefully that's right.
Well, a couple of weeks ago, David, we did an episode, and you teased this a little bit already. If anyone wants to go check it out, it was episode 96, and the title was, Would My Taxes Go Up If Biden Becomes President? Obviously, we recorded that leading up to the election. And this is going to be a little bit of a follow-up to that. In fact, just the other day, yesterday, in fact, at the time we're recording this, the Electoral College officially certified that Biden will be the next president. So although there's still some challenges going on, I think it's pretty certain that he'll be taking over the presidency in late January. But you're right, we don't have yet quite the full idea about whether we get that Democratic sweep of the House, the Senate, and the presidency. Still some things up in the air for January 5th. For the purposes of today's episode, though, do you want to kind of take that other angle and say, all right, at least it looks like there won't be a Democratic sweep. So what do we do about taxes? What do we do about our financial lives in 2021 now?
Yeah, that's exactly what I'd like to do on this. I did go back and listen to our podcast from October 8th, and it's kind of gratifying to go back and listen to something from 2 months ago and say, hey, you know what? That was... pretty good.
I was right.
So if you didn't listen to that, you might go back and look and listen to that. But if you're just hitting it cold with us, with Walter and me today, basically we broke that down into two different types of people. The upper 1.5%, basically those with incomes over 400,000, and what would happen to them? And then the other 98.5% of Americans. And we spent more time on the other 98.5% because that's what most of our listening audience is. We would have a lot more certainty. I could give you a whole lot of certain things if I knew exactly what was going to happen on January 5th with the Senate elections down in Georgia. And just check some polls. You know, well, of course, we've all figured out what the polls are worth, which is not much these days. But right now, the polls are super close, and you've got early balloting already going on. And so if both of the Republicans hold their seats, then you've got a lot lower chance of tax changes going on next year. If one or two of those flip to the Democratic side, it certainly isn't the blue wave that all the polls were talking about a month ago, but it would be a Democratic House, a Democratic Senate, and a Democrat White House. So you're going to get a lot more things done if that's the case. What I'm not going to do today is speculate on those things. What I do want to do, though, is mention four things that I think are worthy of your attention before December 31st, knowing what we know now, which is we don't know who's going to control the Senate. So these are four things you can actually do now. Maybe one, maybe two, maybe all four, depending on your situation. So why don't we jump right in, Walter, with number one? And I put that down as tax loss selling. So a lot of our listeners would know that when you take losses in your portfolio, you get to write those off against gains that you have taken in your portfolio on your taxes each year. And if you take more losses than gains, you can write off up to $3,000 against your income, even if you don't have any gains to offset the losses against. So I think what you'd want to do, maybe you made some decisions you regret back in the March and April and May timeframe when you thought, wow, market may never recover, I'm going to sell some stuff. And those might have generated some losses. So you may already have some losses in your portfolio that you've taken. But if you didn't take those losses, maybe you have some stinkers in your portfolio that you just wish you didn't have. It's always a good time to go through your portfolio. First of all, understand what gains and losses you have already realized this year. And then make sure that they net out to a position you're comfortable with. So if you've already taken some losses or you have some that you could take, you have to do that before December 31st. And the one thing that you really have to pay attention to on tax loss selling is that there's something the IRS calls the 30-day wash sale rule. So if you sell something at a loss, but you really liked that stock, you can't buy it back within 30 days, or else the loss doesn't count for tax purposes. So you have to stay out of that position for 30 days, and if you do, then that loss counts on your taxes for this year. So number one is make sure you go through and figure out, first of all, know where you stand from a gain-loss standpoint year-to-date. And then if there are opportunities to take some losses purposefully, maybe to offset some gains, maybe it's just a bad decision in your portfolio, go ahead and take that loss before December 31st and it counts against your already taken gains and an additional amount of your income for this year.
That's a great point. Now, is that the same thing, David, tax loss selling? Is that the same thing as tax loss harvesting?
It is. It's kind of a, well, and actually, so the part of the harvest is the second thing that I think you need to take a look at. Thanks for mentioning that.
What a great segue.
That was a beautiful segue. You know, the harvest, I don't even have a good analogy, but I'm going to say it anyway. You harvest the wheat with the chaff. And so the wheat might be gains and the chaff might be losses. So the second thing I want you to take a look at is, are there, in particular, long-term capital gains that you have in your portfolio that you might want to harvest or take those gains in 2020 for a variety of reasons, maybe to offset losses you've already taken, maybe because you're concerned that next year the Biden presidency will get through some changes to long-term capital gains rates. And that's one of the things they've said that they're going to do if they can. If they can get it through the House and the Senate, they're going to do that, is raise the tax rates on long-term capital gains, which right now are taxed preferentially. By preferentially, I mean this. If you're in the 10 or 12% tax bracket, gee, Dave, what is that? Well, if you're married and filing jointly, if your taxable income is under 80 grand, specifically 80,250 bucks, or if you're single, filing single, it's $40,125. If your taxable income is less than that, and you take a long-term capital gain, that gain is taxed at zero. Now, your state is probably going to tax it, so you'll owe a little bit to Topeka or a little bit to Jeff City or wherever you happen to live. But the feds are not going to tax that right now. And that is a possible change for next year. It's always, I think, a good time to look at those long-term capital gains and make a decision. Don't just let them roll forward, especially if you're in the 10 or 12% bracket. Here's the other thing about harvesting long-term capital gains. I mentioned the 30-day wash sale rule with losses. But with gains, there is no 30-day wash sale rule. So let's say that you have a long-term capital gain, which means you've held that stock or mutual fund or ETF for more than 1 year. So let's say you own some Tesla stock or some Amazon stock, and you've had it for more than a year, and it's up nicely. You might want to sell that stock, and you could buy it back the very next day, and the gain is still a taxable event. It's taxable maybe at zero if you're in the 10 or 12% bracket. It's taxed at a preferable rate if you're in a higher tax bracket. But there's no wash sale rule for that, so you can sell it and buy it right back so you don't miss out on any future gains. So those are the first two, Walter. They basically add them together, and that's what'd you call it?
Tax loss harvesting. I just remember seeing that term before.
Yeah, so the harvest would include gains and losses. Unless you're pretty good at this, I wouldn't necessarily venture out on that totally on my own. But if you have a good advisor that understands taxes, I'd just blow the idea by him or her and make sure it's a good idea. You have a couple of weeks to get that done. And so I'd strongly encourage you to do it.
Makes a lot of sense. All right, so we have the tax loss selling, the harvesting part of that equation is our first two elements. By the way, if you do want to talk to David about that, you can call 913-317-1414, 913-317-1414, or go to coveryourassetskc.com to get in touch with any questions that you have. We're talking about no Democratic sweep, at least for now, in the election, with Republicans looking like they'll still maintain control of the Senate, at least as things stand now. We'll see what happens in Georgia ultimately, and kind of what to do from that launching point, from that perspective. So four elements we're talking about on the show today. We've covered the first two. David, what's next?
Well, the next, no big surprise to you, Walter, because it seems like at least every other week we talk about Roth conversions, but the Roth conversion deadline for 2020 happens to be December 31st.
You know how since we were talking football earlier, the Jets, and they're so bad this year, but the Jets chant, J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets. I feel like we need a chant for you and Roths.
R-O-T-H,
Roth, Roth, Roth.
I like that, Walter. Let's flesh that out a little bit and see if we can get it going. I might have to have
the team cook up a little thing there. That could be kind of fun.
I like it. Maybe we can get some hankies to wave in the air when we chant.
That's right. I like it.
So Roth conversions, you can go back to a lot of our podcasts and talk about it, but I feel real passionate about it because I'm convinced the tax rates for everybody are going up, having nothing to do with Joe Biden or whatever. It has more to do with our $30 trillion of debt that keeps growing significantly every year. And once interest rates are on the rise and inflation is on the rise, and I don't know when that's going to be, our problem gets real big real fast because the interest on the national debt right now is very low. All of that goes to say that I'm convinced over your retirement, I mean, if you're 30, then over your work life. But if you're 50 or 60, over your retirement, tax rates, I'm convinced, are going up. And if we go back to where they were in the 1960s, they're going to double from here. Everybody's tax rate is going to double from here if we go back to where we were in the 1960s. That's why a Roth conversion makes so much sense And to do it now, you got to get real busy. My admonishment here is to do it in steps. I've only seen one person who did an entire $500,000 IRA all in 1 year, and they got hammered by the IRS because that just becomes taxable income in that year. The thoughtful way to do it, that guy could have done $50,000 a year for 10 years and hardly moved his tax bracket. And that's the way, I'm not saying 10 years is the right number. Everybody has a different strategy that they should pursue with this. And it takes a little bit of time and a little bit of knowledge to craft that strategy, but it's really, really important. So specific example, I've talked to two clients over the last 2 weeks that we're doing Roth conversions for, and we made a calculation. Both of them are retired. Both of them are on Medicare. We made a calculation, in one of the cases, a fairly complex calculation, to make sure that they didn't get slapped with a Medicare penalty because they made too much money. A Roth conversion adds to the total of what the IRS considers too much money. So, for instance, if you're married filing jointly and you have adjusted gross income of over $174,000, then that's what they consider too much income, and then they charge you a penalty for that. In some cases, the penalty might be worth it. So that's not an absolute either. What you'd want to make sure you do is you want to know that the penalty is coming. So, Roth conversion, super important. Most custodians, like ours, we work with TD Ameritrade. I'm sure that Schwab and Fidelity have similar rules. But they're not going to take a Roth conversion request on December 31st. You have to have those in by the 15th or the 20th. So, by the time you hear this podcast, you're going to have a couple of days left. If you didn't do anything in 2020, then I'd encourage you to make a plan for 2021 to say, is this something right for me? And if so, exactly how would I get it done to put myself in a better position in the future? But for 2020, you've still got a couple of days left. If a Roth conversion makes sense, go ahead and get it done. Small is most times better than none at all.
There you have it. R-O-T-H.
Roth.
It's in the works. It's in the works. Maybe for 2021, we'll have a little flair to add to future episodes. I love the idea. All right, so Roth conversions. We knew that was going to be making a star appearance on the show today. But what about the fourth and final element we should be thinking about, David?
Well, the fourth is a little bit tax, a little bit estate tax, a little bit what you can do for your family. But it's really the gifting question. And I get this every year from a lot of clients. They want to know about the gift tax and how much they can give without being taxed. So in a nutshell, I know we've done a podcast on this in the past 6 months as well, but in a nutshell, you can give $15,000 to anybody. And your spouse, if you have one, can give $15,000 to anybody. And you don't have to report it to anybody, including the IRS. If you give more than that, so as a couple, you could give 30 grand to each of your kids, to each of your grandkids, to the guy down the block who can't make his mortgage payment, anybody. And as long as 15,000 comes from you and 15,000 from your spouse, you don't report that. If you give more than that, you still don't pay a gift tax on that, but you do have to report the fact to the IRS with your report with your tax return that you file in April. So there are other ways to gift money as well. You could pay school expenses for a grandchild, for a kid, for somebody you don't even know. And if you pay it directly to the school, you don't have to report that to anybody, regardless of how much it is. You can do the same thing for medical expenses for a family member or somebody you don't even know. And you can pay that in any amount you want, no limit. And as long as it's paid directly to the provider, the hospital, the doctor, etc., you don't have to report that to anyone either. A couple of other little one-offs. If you're a grandparent and you have, or a parent, and you have a grandchild or a child, maybe they are struggling a little bit. They have access to an IRA, but they don't put any money in it. Well, you can put that money. You can gift that money and put that money in there for them, or a Roth. And that can be a really significant help for a grandchild or for a kid when they get to be retirement age. If you're putting money into those types of accounts for them when they're 28 or 32 or 36 or 40, that can be a real big help, because they're very unlikely to touch it before 59 and a half because there are penalties for getting it out. And it can be a real nice lift for you to think that you're helping those types of important people to you, that you're helping them build their retirement. Those gifts can be made, deposits would have to be made before April 15th of next year to count as their IRA contribution or their Roth contribution for 2020. And then finally, maybe you have a family member who has a HSA, a high deductible insurance plan, and they could have an HSA. Walter, have we ever done a podcast on HSAs?
I don't think so. Maybe a passing mention here or there. I don't think we've done a full-length one before.
Without going into excruciating detail, an HSA is basically a Roth account for healthcare expenses, and it never expires. So you can build money up in a tax-free account year after year after year. And the only requirement of getting it out tax-free is that you spend it on healthcare. And let's say you're 30 or 35 or 40, and you're putting money into an HSA every year. You may not take it out till you're 60 or 70, and you have some kind of medical expense that you weren't thinking of. But that account grows tax-free, and it can grow pretty large over a long number of years. You can invest it in mutual funds, depending on the custodian you pick. You can invest, most of them don't allow individual stocks, but you can invest it in the stock market through mutual funds or ETFs, and that's the hottest thing going if you have a high deductible insurance plan. So hopefully those are four actionable items. It is going to be a little past mid-December when this comes out, but these are things you can still do before year end. Real quickly, tax loss selling. You can harvest some gains by tax gain selling. You can still do a Roth conversion, but you got to be pretty quick. And you can gift to people that are important to you for things that are going to be really important to them, and there's not a tax consequence for doing that. So take a look at those four things. See if any of them make sense for you. And then pick a day next week and just get it done.
Yep. All it takes is a little bit of effort and time to organize it and make some of these things happen if you end up being in the ballpark for where this would be, you know, a helpful thing to think about here at the end of the year. And as we think about the new administration coming in, there may be some moves that you want to make before we turn the calendar page. So if you want to get in touch with David Dickens and talk a little bit more about this, again, some of these moves you do need to make before the 31st expires. So if you've been procrastinating a little bit, get on it. And that's just to encourage you to take some action. 913-317-1414 is the number. 913-317-1414. Or go to coveryourassetskc.com. And we'll put a link to the website in the description of today's show so it's easy for you to find. Well, David, I appreciate the guidance and the help on the show as always and throughout 2020. We're going to let you take a little time with the family the next 2 weeks, and while you're probably moving around and traveling and visiting with folks and doing your thing for the holidays, and you'll come back real nice and rested and ready for 2021 in our future episodes.
Going to be ready for that. Just as a little teaser, we're going to do the first two episodes of the new year are going to be financial New Year's resolutions for 2021. So I haven't written it yet, but I'm going to make sure that I have resolutions in there, whether you are 30 or 50 or 70 years old. There's going to be something in there for you. And so I'm excited about kicking off the year that way. And hopefully everybody listening to us has a fantastic holiday season. And then as soon as we flip the calendar, we'll get after 2021.
We'll all be thinking about resolutions, so might as well make some financial ones while we're at it. And yeah, if we want 2021 to be better than 2020, we're going to start it off on the right foot. So I look forward to doing that with you, David. Hope you have a great rest of 2020. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year as well. And we'll be talking in the new year. Thank you, David.
That sounds great. Looking forward to it. Thanks, Walter.
Right. Everybody enjoy the holidays. We'll talk to you next time right back here on Cover Your Assets, KC.
Investment advisory services offered through Brookstone Capital Management, LLC, BCM, a registered investment advisor. BCM and KC Financial Advisors are independent of each other.